Got a little bone to pick with the programming department. Would it kill you every once in a while to play a little Fog Hat?
Sounds like my clap is out of sync, even though it's right on in my headphones. I better get back to work here. I have a lot of news to get to in the final hour of our broadcast week. Without any further ado, let's get right to the big lead.
The big lead. I told you so.
Oh, wait a second. Before I get to the big lead. Save the I told you so, Tarek. We're going to do that in a couple minutes again. And go in the same order I told you. But I saw a story that it's just all so weird to me. So everybody who's going woke is going broke. Coca-Cola, they were supporting the baseball pullout of the All-Star game from Atlanta, moving it to Denver, even though Coca-Cola is based in Atlanta. And it turns out Coca-Cola's sales have dipped noticeably in the last month since they went all woke on us. Major League Baseball, their favorability ratings are through the floor. I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, a friend of mine had great tickets to a Mariners game. And his wife's a big sports fan. He said, hey, honey, you want to go to the Mariner game Saturday night? Nope. Not supporting Major League Baseball. Not after what they did with that All-Star game. And they want to get all political. NBA ratings are horrible. As they have made the Marxism of Black Lives Matter a front and center issue. The NFL is still struggling with the perception that they have become so political. Let me give you another example of just how little sense wokeism is. I've told you that I, especially as a kid, was obsessed with numbers. I would memorize every Major League Baseball player's batting average at the end of the season. And I don't think I could do that anymore. But, and I won't tell you I was 100%, but for at least the top 50 hitters or so, I was pretty darn good at memorizing numbers. And so when you get this big thick book. It took me forever to save for this. But Baseball Reference, it used to be in print. It's all online now. But Baseball Reference is the Bible of baseball statistics. Everybody who has ever played in the major leagues, even if it was just one game, they have an entry at Baseball Reference. And if they were primarily, and in many cases exclusively, known by their nickname, then that's how they're listed in Baseball Reference. Well, they've decided they have to go woke. And so Native American baseball players from the early 20th century, and these are guys I'd heard of, Chief Bender, Chief Myers. If you were Native American and you were playing Major League Baseball, there's a pretty good chance that your teammates were going to call you Chief. But now you're not going to find Chief Bender and Chief Myers in Baseball Reference anymore. You're going to find Charles Bender and Jack Myers. I've never heard of Charles Bender and Jack Myers. I have heard of Chief Bender and Chief Myers. Is that progress? Is anybody better off because these guys who were called by the same name for their entire life, and now people in 2021 are saying, no, we're going to go back and change what everybody referred to you as. And there's a really good piece about this that Robert Spencer wrote. Controlling the past means revising it. And right out of the book, 1984, Winston Smith's job is to change the content of old newspapers so that history always reflects and confirms the current situation. For example, it appeared from the Times of the 17th of March that Big Brother, in his speech of the previous day, had predicted that the South Indian Front would remain quiet, but that a Eurasian offensive would shortly be launched in North Africa. As it happened, the Eurasian Higher Command had launched its offensive in South India and left North Africa alone. So it was necessary to rewrite a paragraph of Big Brother's speech in such a way as to make him predict the thing that had actually happened. It was all a lie. So in baseball, they're taking the reality of 100 years ago, and they're saying, nope, new reality, 2021, we're much more enlightened than anybody before, and we will certainly be more enlightened than anybody who will come in the future to this earth. We are the most enlightened generation there ever has been and ever will be because we're so progressive. And so they're changing these nicknames. And I'll tell you another story. Chief Myers, one of the guys whose name they've changed, he had as a roommate another Native American named Jim Thorpe, the greatest all-around athlete of his era. And in a book called The Glory of Their Times, they talk about how Chief Myers and Jim Thorpe roomed together when they both played for the New York Giants baseball team. When, after winning Olympic medals, when they found out that Jim Thorpe had taken some money playing professional baseball, thereby losing his amateur status, Jim Thorpe had his Olympic medals taken away from him. And Thorpe told the story that he was devastated. And in the middle of the night, he woke up his roommate, Chief Myers, fellow Native American. And Jim Thorpe said, you know, Chief, the King of Sweden gave me those trophies. He gave me those medals. But they took them away from me, even though the guy who finished second refused to take them. They're mine, Chief. I won them fair and square. It broke his heart, and he never really recovered. So why did Jim Thorpe call his good Native American friend, Chief Myers, Chief? Was Jim Thorpe a racist? Was he trying to demean his good friend, his roommate, his fellow Native American? Of course not. They're both adults. They didn't get offended by nicknames. It never even occurred to them to get offended. So now do we have to change what Jim Thorpe said? Because that story is quoted in the book The Glory of Their Times. Should they go into that book and change the Jim Thorpe quote so he didn't call his roommate Chief? Called him Jack. Or no, Charles. Chief Bender was Charles Bender. See how stupid this all is? Another baseball player whose name is being changed. Dummy Hoy. Dummy Hoy played Major League Baseball. But he could not hear. He could not speak. And he got the nickname Dummy. But he referred to himself as Dummy. And when somebody called him his given name, William, he would correct them. They would say, "No, I'm Dummy." He'd do it in writing because he could not speak. But he would correct them. But now, 100 years later, we're changing Dummy Hoy's name. It's so incredibly stupid, isn't it? All right, let's get to, for real this time, the big lead.
The big lead. I told you so.
A couple of weeks ago, when the Washington State Legislature took another step toward a gigantic carbon tax, Jay Inslee and the Progressive Democrats, they want to tax carbon emissions, and it will cost the people of this state billions and billions of dollars. There is a study out today. Did you know that the greenhouse gas emissions of China exceed all the greenhouse gases of the United States and the entire European Union combined? China alone, more than the combination of the U.S., Great Britain, Germany, Italy, Switzerland, I mean, every EU country. So, how much does Washington State contribute to global greenhouse gases? A couple of weeks ago, I had on Democratic State Representative Noel Frame, and I made that exact point that we contribute statistically zero to worldwide global carbon emissions. And so, even if you reduced our emissions to nothing, it would not help the planet as long as China and India are spewing as many gases as they possibly can into the atmosphere. Washington simply does not matter. Here's what Noel Frame and I talked about.
Do you really think, I mean, because the vast majority of CO2 is produced by China and India, do you really think that China and India are going to be affected at all by taxing the people of this state billions of dollars?
As a matter of form, I mean, you're getting into matters of foreign policy, Dory, which are a little beyond my scope as the state representative.
Well, I know, but I'm asking this. It's not doing anything, and it's costing billions of dollars. And it's on the hope that maybe people will follow our lead?
The federal government often follows the leads of the states. That is what we are doing here. The federal government as a whole, I think, ultimately is how we pull in China, India, and others. And I do think it's important for us to lead and be that lab of innovation.
Pause this. Think about this. So you and I, collectively, we're going to get taxed billions of dollars a year with these new carbon emission taxes in the hopes that China... I mean, this is just so crazy. China will go, "Oh, look what they're doing there in Washington. Okay, let's stop spewing gas into the air. Let's stop spewing carbon emissions." Does anybody think that's going to happen? The China, so she is admitting, yeah, we are doing nothing to help the planet, but maybe China will follow our lead. Does that sound like a good reason to transfer billions of dollars from the citizens of Washington State Oh, I'm sorry, Lorena Gonzalez. I meant residents. I'm sorry, Lorena. I meant residents. Forgive me. Does it make any sense to tax the citizens of Washington State and the illegal aliens of Washington State? Is that better, Lorena Gonzalez? Billions of dollars because of this impossible fantasy that China will follow our lead and start cleaning up the
planet. To answer your second point, Dory,
yes.
You know, it does matter locally. And so much of what is interwoven with the Climate Commitment Act and the Low Carbon Fuel Standard is really about things like the quality of the air right here in Washington State. And there's a lot of nexus between carbon emissions and particulate matter, for instance, in our air. And
Okay, but again, we contribute nothing globally. But that's why they need billions of dollars in tax hikes to accomplish nothing. And this is what I've talked about for so many years now, that government should evaluate everything on a cost versus benefit ratio. In this case, the cost to private citizens is billions and billions of dollars, and the benefit is nothing. This should not have gone through. But it's not about cleaning up the planet. It's about taking billions of dollars from the private sector and giving it to their campaign donors, to labor unions, to the groups that they hope will permanently vote for Democrats. And that's all it is. It's an exercise in power and permanency. And it is a tragedy that we have allowed them to get away with this. I've been trying. I've been sounding the alarm for a long, long time. But I will also tell you, more people than ever are listening to this radio show. And so people are getting dialed in. People are getting educated on the futility of what they're trying to sell to us. And that is your Big Lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
We will check the news for you with Aaron Granillo. And then coming up, lots of interest. I don't like getting into, I didn't goof on the Bill and Melinda Gates divorce, but there's some interesting, and in Bill's case, some kind of creepy stuff that's coming out now. We'll share some of that with you next here on the Dory Monson Show. Upside down. We still have a half hour. Let's make the most of it. So you can keep this going underneath here, Tark. I don't know how long. How long is it? How much time you got on that, baby? Oh, that's it. Shoot. So I have some Bill Gates news. It's just interesting. Some of the stuff that's coming out since the divorce filing on Monday. For example, I guess this news was already out there, but I had never heard it before, that Bill Gates, after marrying Melinda, he had a deal with Melinda and with her approval that one weekend a year, he would spend it at a cozy beach cottage in North Carolina with his ex-girlfriend. He told Time magazine about this in 1997. Gates said, "We can play putt-putt golf while discussing biotechnology." Because his ex-girlfriend was also a nerd techie named Anne Winblad. And then Bill Gates asked Winblad's approval before he proposed to Melinda. But then they made a deal, Bill and Melinda did. They'd get together one weekend a year with his old girlfriend.
You know who that sounds exactly like, Dory?
What?
That's Kamala and the prince. Why his name's not coming to me right now? So Kamala.
Kamala Harris?
No. Prince, help me. Oh my gosh. The queen's son.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
So Princess Diana was married to Prince.
Prince Charles.
Charles, thank you. So they had that deal. He asked for approval before before proposing to Diana. And then when they eventually divorced, then he went and married Kamala again. Camellia, whatever her name is.
Kamala.
Camilla.
Kamala.
It's Camilla. That's what it is.
Oh, Camilla. Okay.
But it's the same situation.
Did he go and do his freak on one weekend a year while he was married to Diana?
Well, there are rumors that, yes, he was seeing her on the side.
Well, I don't like it.
Anyway, it's a weird connection, but yes, it is weird.
Well, okay, so that's one of the stories that's out today that I never knew. And then, and I'm looking at his oceanfront love nest. They're printing pictures of it. It's just a very modest beach house. He was already a billionaire, but he would meet this old girlfriend even after he was married. And by the way, you do something like that, the marriage is doomed. It's doomed. There is a movie. Paul Moyer really likes this movie. And he just says it's cute. That's kind of about that, called Same Time Next Year with Alan Alda. It was the same sort of thing. He meets some woman and they agree that they will meet at the same place, same date, every year, once a year, even though they were married to other people. Okay, so anyway, I think that's kind of creepy. I want to sleep with my ex-girlfriend one weekend a year.
Wasn't officially part of the deal. Right?
Well,
the sleep with part.
Well, of course they were sleeping together. They weren't just playing putt-putt. So then also, Bill Gates was pretty close to murdered pedophile Jeffrey Epstein. Epstein did not commit suicide. But he was close to Jeffrey Epstein. Bill Gates flew many, many times on Epstein's private jet that they called the Lolita Express. Now, there's no evidence that Bill Gates did anything with the underage girls, but even as Bill Gates was flying with Jeffrey Epstein, Epstein had already been convicted of soliciting child prostitution. They became friends in 2011, and Epstein's conviction of soliciting child prostitution happened before that. And then one time, Melinda went with Bill to Jeffrey Epstein's home in 2013. And she said that she was really uncomfortable. She warned Bill about any further contact with Jeffrey Epstein. And then Bill Gates cut off all communication with Jeffrey Epstein. And in 2014, Epstein complained that Bill Gates was no longer speaking to him. And apparently it's because Melinda told him, I don't want you to have anything to do with this creeper anymore. So between the girlfriend hookups and the Jeffrey Epstein thing, and then finally, this week, they knew they were going to announce the divorce on Monday. They wanted to do it sooner, but lawyers stopped them. But then Melinda and the three kids, and this suggests that the kids are on Team Melinda, and they're not happy with their dad right now. But Melinda Gates and their three adult children, 25, 21, and 19, they rented Calavini Island in Grenada. It costs $130,000 per night to stay on this private island. And so Melinda and all three kids went to the private island for several days, right around the time of the divorce announcement, just to escape the madness here. But yeah, that suggests the kids are on mom's side and not dad's. So
it also suggests that this was going on for a long time. Will. Right? They were just holding out for whatever. Whether the kids, it was the youngest kid to get out of school or.
Yep, that's what so many couples do. They wait until the youngest is out of high school and their youngest son is 19, or their youngest child, their only son, is 19 years old now. And so the girls are 25 and 21. So, yeah, they probably just waited for the kid. I wonder where the kid went. I know Bill Gates went to Lakeside. I think his son went to the private Bush school up on Capitol Hill there. But I'm not positive. But anyway, yeah, that's so many couples do. They wait until the youngest is out of high school, and then that's when they get the divorce. That is the latest in your Bill Gates news. Quick time out, and then we'll count down our favorite sound bites of the entire week as the Dory Monson Show rolls off. Cut them off, but I have something even better for you to listen to as we get to our favorite sound bites of the week.
This is Dory Monson's Awesome Audio Clips of the Week.
Now, we got a lot to get to. It's going to be, I can fly through. We begin at the Pentagon, where the spokesman seemed to have been a little caught off guard by one of the questions that the Pentagon press corps asked him earlier this week.
Okay, one last question. An Army major was reportedly drugged and bitten by strippers in Poland. Will that affect the U.S. military's footprint in that country? This is a story. It is a major story, and it happened in Gdansk.
Jeff, I don't know anything about that story. I'll have a look at it. I'm not going to take that question. But
please take that.
Jeff, no. Jeff, just let me state clearly: we have a strong military relationship with Poland, and we expect to see that continue to grow and to improve. But I don't know. I don't.
It is a true story, by the way. Major was drugged and bitten by strippers to keep him awake so they could keep swiping his credit card. They ran up 13,000 in charges. Joe Biden, do you have a website we can go to if we want to get vaccinated?
I'm going to repeat. We're going to make it easier than ever to get vaccinated. Visit vaccines.gov, vaccines.gov, or text your zip code to 438829.
Okay, so you go to vaccines.gov.com. Okay? Type that in your old browser. Then there was this woman, a teacher. She has now been outed. She hasn't taught for a couple of years, but She was pulled over by a police officer. She's an African-American woman. The cop is Hispanic, and she was recording the cop on her phone as she was driving. That is illegal. Here is this lovely lady's conversation with the cop.
You know why I'm being harassed today? Because I was going under the speed limit. I was going at 38.
Yes, you are, ma'am. Good morning.
And the speed limit is 40, and I was going 38, so why are you harassing me?
You are correct. I pulled you over because
you're a murderer. Yes, I started to record because you're a murderer.
You can't be on your cell phone while you're driving.
I wasn't on my phone. I was recording you because you scared me.
You can't use your cell phone while you're recording.
I can record you.
May I have your driver's license?
It's at my apartment.
What's your apartment?
It's at my home. I'm just taking my son to his.
Do you have your driver's license?
I mistakenly left it at home.
Do you have a picture of your driver's license?
Yes, I do.
May I have it?
And can you call your supervisor, please?
I already did. He's on his way.
Good, because you're a murderer.
Okay.
And so you're giving me a cell phone ticket? Is that why you're harassing me?
Not harassment. Yeah. I am enforcing the law.
I have a right to and record the police when they're harassing me.
By all means, but you can't do it while you're driving.
Didn't texting or none of that.
You
scared me and made me think you were going to murder me.
Okay, well, I'm sorry you feel that way.
Well, that's not just a feeling. You're a murderer.
Okay. Can you zoom in on that for me,
Sure. Jay?
Thank you.
And I'm perfectly legal, and I'm a teacher.
Congratulations.
You're a murderer.
What's your last name? I can't see that there.
Well,
if
here you
stop,
go, murderer.
Stop shaking. Zoom in on that for me,
because
right?
You're scaring me. You're threatening to kill me and my son. Can you give me
okay.
The
okay. Well, I'll tell you what. You keep smiling.
Yeah,
you're on camera.
You're trying to threaten to kill me. I'm not smiling. You're the one who's crazy.
Hold that still. I can't see that. Is this your car?
Yes, it is. You're trying to say I stole my own car because you're jealous?
Yeah,
is that what
I don't think
about?
So. You wait for me right here, okay?
You're jealous.
Citation. All you need to do is your signature. He's only citing you for using your cell phone while you're driving. That's it.
There you go, ma'am. Sign inside the red box right there.
For him being a Mexican racist. What is that name? Gasco.
It's on the citation, ma'am.
Here you go, Mexican racist. You're always going to be a Mexican. You'll never be white. You know that, right? You'll never be white, which is what you really want to be.
There you go, dear.
Have
a good day.
You want to be white so bad.
There you go. What a lovely person. He's a saint. He's the most patient man I've ever heard. And she's who and what she is. It's really, really sad. Finally, we were going to get Charlie Kirk on the show this week, but he's getting married this weekend. And so I guess after the honeymoon, he's going to come on with us. But he was asked if he has hope for America when everything. Charlie Kirk's a young 27-year-old conservative Christian. He was asked if he has hope for America with all the challenges we face from the radical left. And he told a story. I went and saw him speak on Sunday night up in Edmonds. And he told a story about the United States getting bombed at Pearl Harbor and Winston Churchill's reaction to it. And I just wish I could pull up the audio of this. Oh, Charlie, what'd I do? I don't have Charlie Kirk for you. Doggone it. Here we go. Here's Charlie. Oh, he's talking about Winston Churchill was smiling, the only one smiling, the day the United States got attacked at Pearl Harbor. Why? And this is what Churchill said. We've got an audio problem there. Okay, I'm sorry. Now, don't play. Don't play. I'll save it for next week if people want to hear it again. If you want to hear it again, we have everything up on our podcast. What a great finish. It was a great week of shows, man. I was so happy. I was so proud of all the stuff. And then all I'm going to think about is the way it ended today. Doggone it anyway. All right, well, I'm going to go see why my right eye is completely blurred over. Say a prayer for me, would you? Have a fantastic weekend. Tom Curley Show is coming up next. I'll see you back here Monday. High noon. High noon.
I know there have been some rumors going around that the bank is no longer funding us. I am here to put those rumors to rest. They are true. In terms of money, we have no money. Now would probably be a good time to look for other employment options.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.